All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the Video Game Review. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show filmmaker Joshua Sui. He has a new film, a documentary called Insert Coin, and it's going to be the opening night film at the 19th San Francisco Documentary Festival, or they call it SF DocFest. That's going to be the virtual edition. September 3rd is when it will air. The festival will run through the 20th. Josh, welcome to the show. Insert Coin is it's very informative to the younger crowd or those just who didn't know what Midway had going on. It's kind of a love letter to Midway Games, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very fun look back at some crazy times in video game history.
Well, you think about the crash in 83, 84 and E.T. and video games. Some people thought maybe they were dead. And when they came back and coming back with a real bang, Midway Games came in and they took a much more irreverent look, which is really an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, for Midway in particular, and back then it was called Williams Electronics, you know, they suffered that video game crash, and, you know, their principal game designer left the industry, but then, you know, in the late 80s came back and, you know, created a game called Narc that basically completely changed the industry, you know, leading into the 90s.
And Narc was a game where you weren't on a lizard with a golden axe. You weren't killing aliens. This was sort of like in the news, and it made it a little more visceral, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it was a lot of games that up until that point were very fantasy based, and so Jarvis comes in, and much like many people of that generation, you know, they were heavily influenced by action films of the 80s. You know, if you look at the Schwarzenegger films and the Bruce Willis films and RoboCop and all these things, you know, Jarvis came in. It's like, you know what? I want to do something that's like those movies and is very, you know, for lack of a better term, very American or Western in tone. Because a lot of the more successful games up until that point, you know, were coming from Japan. And so, you know, Jarvis comes in and just wanted to go in a completely different direction and wanted things to be more realistic. And, you know, with that realism came, you know, a heightened sense of violence to it also. Granted, it was cartoon violence, but it was just, you know, it was never seen, that type of action was never really seen before at that point.
You know, you mentioned Williams, and when I think of Williams games, I just think about looking up on that big wood console. And for me, it was all about Defender, which was a game that really changed everything. How did we get from Williams to Midway? What was the transition there?
Yeah, so what happened was that, you know, it's interesting. So Williams, you know, they had their video games, and then they also had their pinball, and that was all in Chicago. And Bally Midway was a separate company that was also in Chicago, and they were like huge rivals of each other. And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, may have forgotten that Bally was a massive company. They were pumping out games like crazy. They were making hit pinballs. Also, they grew to become a giant company that did casinos and health clubs and everything. And they got less and less interested in video games. And so Williams, riding off of the high of, you know, the success of Narc, and also their pinball division was very successful at that point. You know, they were able to leverage some of their power to basically, buy out Bally, because Bally, they just weren't interested in video games anymore. So what ended up happening was that they got the deal to buy Bally, and then they turned Bally Midway into Williams Bally Midway, which eventually ended up just becoming Midway Game. But the irony was that, you know, Williams bought out Bally, and then they made a game called Arch Rivals, a great basketball game that was in development for Bally. And that was the first game after the merger. And that game became so successful that that single game paid for the entire acquisition of Bally into Midway.
Outstanding. A couple more questions for Josh Sui. His new film, a documentary called Insert Coin, going to be starting out here at the San Francisco Doc Festival on September 3rd. You mentioned, you know, their sort of violent look, and I think a lot of people, when they think of Midway, they think of, you know, as you say, Arch Rivals, NBA Jam, but a lot of people think about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And so we never saw a spine being pulled out of somebody's body before. And so if you think about what Rockstar does now, they really blazed the trail for people like Rockstar, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it wasn't like games weren't violent before that, before Mortal Kombat, but it was kind of, you know, just the graphics weren't there. They're very kind of cartoonish, you know, they're very abstract in nature. And because of the way games like NARC and NBA Jam and Mortal Kombat were designed, they used real actors. They digitized actors and put them in the game. So for its time, it felt very realistic. You're controlling realistic people. And so what ended up happening is, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, as they were designing the game, yeah, it was violent, but it was really more about the humor, you know, the humorous violence. If you look at how ridiculous it is to pull somebody's head off and the whole spinal column comes out with it, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a big joke. And so it's really made more for humor than anything else. And that's what, you know, made that so attractive to people. Now, you know, once you start taking that context out of it and it evolves over, you know, a couple of decades into something like GTA, where, you know, people get even nuttier and it becomes more and more realistic, you know, then people have a, you know, kind of a different reaction to it. But yeah, it definitely came from games like Mortal Kombat and, you know, and subsequent games of Midway, because once Midway got a taste of success with some of this over the top comedic violence, you know, they just started putting that in almost every game out there.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about that pushback, because just like rock and roll in the 50s was the devil's music and it was corrupting America's youth, there were a lot of people, a lot of politicians as well, who didn't understand that bad parenting when it comes to guns and drugs and alcohol, whatever, some of this stuff is adult entertainment. And so they would say, well, if this kid is violent or getting bad grades, it must be because of Mortal Kombat. So what was it like for Midway to suffer the slings and arrows of what kids today would call haters?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was really interesting. And in the film, we talk about the way the studio and how upper management took this. And basically, you know, we knew that, you know, it was all kind of a big joke. You know, it's more to be funny than anything else. And so when all this ruckus came about, you know, when there's like, you know, congressmen, you know, getting on the Senate floor talking about video game violence, you know, like basically the company and upper management loved it. I mean, they loved the fact that people were talking about it, because every time somebody, a politician, you know, usually is talking about how video games are corrupting the youth of America, sales for these games rose up like crazy. It was just free publicity at that point. And if you look back on it now, it's just silly. I mean, it's, you know, I think some good came out of it, because like the rating system came out of it, and that helped, you know, it helped both the retailers and the designers of the game, because now that the designers know that, hey, this game is going to be for teen, they knew where the guardrails were, or if they're going to be mature, they knew they're, you know, they can go in a certain direction. So that helped out a lot. But in general, you know, the way Midway looked at it was fantastic. People are talking about the game. Let them talk about it. If they want to regulate it, that's great, because that people are still going to buy the game no matter what. And if anything, now that there's ratings, you know, it helps parents decide what kind of games their kids should be getting. Now, whether those parents are actually paying attention to it or not, that's something that's, you know, completely out of the company's control.
Yeah, no doubt. One final question for you. I've seen it. Insert Coin is fantastic. You guys sent
a
preview screener. But whenever you make a film, especially a documentary, and you sit down with people and interview them, and then you spend, you know, usually a year or two posting it, getting it all together, what's mm-hmm. How gratifying is it for you that people have responded the way they have? And then also, the people in the film, what's their take on how it all ended up?
Yeah, so to answer the first part, it feels great for people to react so positively to it. And, you know, I think the best feeling is when somebody who, kind of knows a bit about video games when they see the film, or if they know about the subject when they see the film, and they come out with, wow, I didn't realize this led to this, or I didn't even realize that, you know, the reason why there were certain decisions made, especially on the business side of things. So that's super gratifying, and I'm glad people are discovering something new about their childhood. But then in terms of the participants, we had a cast and crew screening out here in Chicago for everybody. And, I was a nervous wreck, watching them watch the film. and at the end, so many people came up and said, you know what, you absolutely captured the way it felt like working on these games, or the way we felt when the games went out and people were playing them. And that was really gratifying because, I was afraid that it was going to be too inside baseball in terms of the information that was out there. But at the same time, I wanted to make sure that, that I was able to get people to feel what it was like inside that studio. And so to hear that was just, it really made it all worthwhile.
Great stuff. And it's a film with a great name. It's called Insert Coin. We've been speaking to the man behind the project, Joshua Tsui. It will be at the 19th annual San Francisco Documentary Festival, SF DocFest Virtual Edition. It'll be the opening night film on September 3rd. The festival runs through the 20th. And then make sure that you keep your eyes out, get your hands on this when it becomes available. Once again, Insert Coin, make sure to check it out. Josh, congratulations on the project. Thanks for coming on the Video Game Review, and let's catch up on your next one.
Thank you so much for having me.